All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R. Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, August 18th. Yeah, that's the month, and that's the date, and it's the year 2014. How are you? Do you realize, when you think about that, it's 2014, if we actually make it to the 2090s, how people are going to be looking back at us? Like the way, you know, in the 1900s, you look back at 1914, everybody was walking around really fast. Do you think that'll happen with us? No, Bill. They have HDTV. And with the rate of global warming, all right, you fucking cunt. We're all going to be underwater. You know what? You know what would be funny? I bet Waterworld. Do you think that movie will make a bunch of fucking money as the polar ice caps start to melt? Everybody would be like, you know what? I think we were wrong about this one. We gave this movie a lot of fucking criticism. The guy was actually way ahead of his time. Bill, why are you talking about Kevin Costner? Because I actually have a movie coming out with him. Believe it or not, old fancy pants freckle boy over here. I did a movie last summer in New Orleans. Some of you listening to this podcast might remember. And it was hot as shit, but it was a wonderful, it was a wonderful time. And Mike Binder wrote and directed it. Octavia Spencer, Kevin Costner, they're all in it. It's a, how would I describe the movie? It's a courtroom drama, old school courtroom drama. And what do you play, Bill? I play Kevin Costner's lawyer. Enough Boston accent in there. I'm actually going to a film festival coming up, Toronto, with the debut of that movie and or whatever, at a film festival, I guess. And then it comes out in October. So there you go. Look at that. I've barely given you any laughs. I've come right out of the gate, just whoring myself out. I'm actually hoping to get Mike Binder on the podcast as we get closer to the date. He's actually one of the legendary stand-ups from the Comedy Store back in the day. And he told me a bunch of great stories and all that stuff. And so he'll obviously be a great guest. Speaking of which, last night I went down to the the first thing I did was I went out and I fucking jammed with the band, man. I'm doing another one of those goddamn comedy jams tonight. And dressing up like the drummer that I'm imitating again, which, of course, is... It is ridiculous. So I take off any sort of pressure for any sort of audience member where, you know, is there anything worse than having to go see your friend's band? Even if they're unless they're really fucking good, then you're like, oh God, maybe they're going to make it. I should start picking up some wires. Maybe I could be a roadie. Dude, you forgot where you came from, man. You remember I used to go see you down at Friendly's in the ground round? Either way, you're fucked, right? So I just don't want anybody going down to anybody who's going out to this thing. I don't want anybody even remotely to think that I'm taking this anywhere other than this is just a fun as hell thing to do. I want to do some jokes about Tommy Lee, you know, like I did with John Bonham. It's fun. It's just a good fucking time. So I'll tell you, trying to find a Tommy Lee
costume is, it's fucking difficult. The guy's had like 90 different looks, and like most of them, he's not wearing a shirt. And I'm just too fucking pasty. I said, I'm not fucking doing that. So I had to pick an era where he was actually wearing a shirt, which is, it's not easy. It's not easy to find. But anyway, so I did that. And then last night I went down to the Comedy Store, and they had actually had a memorial service for Robin Williams. And it was awesome, man. It was, you know, just like so many people from back in the day came out that were down there. I'm wondering when the last time all of that group of people were down there. And they were all telling stories. It was like, I got there late, unfortunately, but, Norm MacDonald, Yakov Smirnoff had some great stories. Jackson Purdue. Then, there's a couple of people that were in part of his improv group. We're all telling all these great stories. And, it was a really great thing, but I gotta tell you, man, that was, it's not like I knew the guy or anything, but that was brutal. Fucking brutal when I heard the news about that one. That one really, you know, there's one of those things where you think, you know, yeah, I love that guy. I love his movies. I think that guy's hilarious. You know, you don't realize it. And then something like that happens. You're just like, wow, man, I had no idea how much that guy affected me. I did get a chance one time to do a show with him. He always... you know, he would just come down to clubs. I'd always heard about it. I know he did it. He lived up in San Francisco, but people were saying like, yeah, there's this open mic he went to every single week. Bartnick told this great story about how he was at a concert. He was kind of like the unofficial mayor of like San Francisco when they needed like a laugh or something. Like, I guess Bartnick was at some big concert and it was an outdoor thing and it rained. And, you know, so like, apologize, everybody. The bands can't go on. Everybody's standing there fucking looking like a bunch of fucking wet shelter dogs and stuff. And Robin Williams was in the crowd and he just went up on stage in like a fucking rain poncho and did 45 minutes in front of a soaking wet, angry crowd that wasn't getting their show. And he crushed, just did like a headlining set. And then in the end, like the sun was coming out and he's like, all right, the bands are coming out, blah, blah, blah. And just went right back into the crowd. Just, it was like a zillion stories like that I heard. And, so anyways, I was doing, Jeff Garland had this show. He does, every now and again down at the UCB. And, it's this really cool format. In the end, he has like this improv game called, the Combo Platter. And it's basically they pick a subject and each person has to go up and riff on it for 5 minutes. And then you sit down and then the next round is you go back up again, but anybody can interrupt anybody at any time. And it just starts going, you just start adding to whatever they're doing. And one night I went down there and I was doing the show with them and Robin showed up and Garland knew him and everything, and they went in with the show, and I actually got to do improv. I was standing right next to him doing improv. I literally felt like I was on Comic Relief, you know? I mean, we were sitting in the chairs, right? This is like such a fucking weird moment, but I was sitting in the chair next to him. You know, he had that thick arm hair. It's like we were, the space between us was a little tight, but it wasn't anywhere where we still should have been touching, but his arm hair was so fucking thick, it actually was touching my arm. I had to move my arm. I remember thinking all those jokes that he used to do about how he felt like he was wearing a sweater and all that type of thing. But it was obviously one of the great things I ever got to do. And fortunately, because he was such an open guy and such a nice guy, sweet guy, he didn't, you know, come in with that, you know, I've been doing this forever. Get out of the way, kid. He didn't have that vibe at all. He was like a really vulnerable kind of vibe that because he came with that vibe, I was actually able to like enjoy it as it was happening rather than look back on it and be like, oh, I got to do that. But I was so in my head, I had to like knock him down, you know. That's like something I have to do sometimes when I get a gig that's so big. I literally have to develop a certain level of hatred for this person that I don't hate, I have to be like, you know what? Fuck this guy. Fuck this guy for making me feel so fucking uncomfortable with his, his success or whatever. But the way Robin was, you didn't have to do that when you're around him. So, you know, thanks to Jeff Garland for fucking, you know, having that show so I could have that memory. But it's definitely a huge, huge, huge fucking indescribable loss. And it just sucks. I hate that it ends that way. You know? So, anyways, isn't that happy? Isn't that happy to fucking have to talk about that? Yet another fucking person in this business? You know what was fucking weird is I got like 3 texts within 24 hours of Robin's death, you know, asking me if I was okay and then telling me not to kill myself. And that just struck me as funny. Like, it's like depression and suicide are not like a... like a stand, like if a fucking plumber kills himself, do people reach out to other plumbers? Hey man, I know you haven't got a lot of sinks lately. It's been mostly toilets and, you know, just reaching out that, you know, it's going to turn around, you know, you know, look, I'm not a fucking doctor, but I know that shit, it definitely affects, you know, a lot of people. I mean, I've dealt with, you know, unfortunately, and it's been people outside of stand-up. Let's see. I got to, like, count. I think it's 3. Yeah, 3 people that I know, you know, committed suicide. It's fucking brutal, man. It's really fucking brutal. And so I got this... You know, I don't know. I see somebody start go down that the depressed road. It's just fucking, it's so hard to get them off it. I don't know. All I know is it sucks. So, back to the podcast. Anyways, what am I going to talk about this week? Let's just continue with, like, you know, talking about depression and suicide. Can I fucking just openly and honestly talk about the ice bucket challenge? Can I do that without fucking this McCarthyism fucking era of once the ball gets rolling, if you fucking go anywhere else, you're not supporting the troops, you're a commie, you hate women, or, you know, it just... That ice bucket challenge, at this point, I've been challenged by 3 different fucking people. Okay? The last one was last night. And the person texted me, said, hey, you know, go check out my ice bucket challenge. I love how it's about the person. It's so not even about the disease. Hey, check out my wacky response to ice cold water over my fucking head. And he goes, what the hell is it? He said, it's on Facebook. Hope you're good. I nominated you for the Ice Bucket ALS Challenge. So I wrote back. I said, listen, dude, I live in a desert. All right? It's a $500 fine if you waste water. I'm going to do the $100 donation instead. So he goes, you prick. Well played. You can do it on the road and send me the video. And I wrote back. I'm like, dude, it's about raising money for ALS, not you watching me dump a bucket of ice over my fucking head. I don't understand. Like, do you understand how precious water is to everybody and around the world? How much there's a shortage of it? We're over here going, just dumping it over our heads. And it's to the point now, it's the disease is second banana to watching somebody's reaction. I know it's a fun fucking thing and it's raised over $100 million and all of that type of shit. But there's this pressure. Like, if you don't fucking do it and you just give $100, somehow you're an asshole. What I want to know is how many people just dump the bucket of ice over their head and it's another fucking, you know, me moment for them, and then they don't even give any goddamn money. You know, this is just going to open a can of worm for all these other diseases. There's actually people in foundations right now sitting in a boardroom, okay, with fucking bagels and cream cheese sitting in front of them that everybody wants to go and grab, but no one wants to grab it first. So they seem like the person who just came there to eat. And they're sitting there brainstorming, trying to figure out how can we come up with our own ice bucket challenge so people give a shit about rickets. You know, it's like when there's a hit fucking movie. Oh, my God. It's a hit movie with vampires. God damn it. Put vampires in everything. That's what's going to happen. What other natural resource can we use? The fresh air challenge. The aquifer ice bucket challenge. Everybody's got to go to fucking Nantucket and dump water over their head. I don't know. It's a good thing because it's raising money, but I got to be honest with you. You know, there's not a lot of water left, people, if you really look at it. The only fresh water we got coming is the polar ice caps melting. Do you know a lot of those blue blood cunts are going around the world and they're buying up property that sits on an aquifer because they know that water in the future is going to be equivalent to currency? Do you understand how much little information I had before I just made that unbelievably terrifying statement? Do you understand that, people? Why are you listening to this thing? You know what's going to be a rough month is the Ice Bucket Challenge and then also the pink month in the NFL. All of these fucking things. Oh, man. I just hope that the money actually gets to the people that need it. You know? Because from what I've actually read on the internet, so God knows if it's even remotely true, she makes like $750,000 a year. And I know she's raised a bunch of money and all that type of shit. But at the end of the day, if there weren't a bunch of women dying from breast cancer, she wouldn't have a job. It's just fucking weird. I guess you can say the same thing about a doctor, but a doctor is trying to, well, I guess she's trying to get them better. I don't know. How do you justify pulling that kind of money? I guess you're sitting there going like, well, I raised $100 million. That's not even 1%. I took 0.75%. Then again, $750,000, you're probably riding around a BMW. I bet that isn't painted pink, is it? You know, you want to make sure you got the resale value, don't you? What's the name of the lady that does the pink thing? Is it Pam? Is it Peggy? Does her name start with P? All right. Anyways, this is the Monday morning podcast, everybody. A really heavy one. We've talked about suicide, ALS, and breast cancer. Hey, how excited are you guys that the NFL football's coming back? The NFL football. How old do I sign? You know? Is she on that internet? Bum, 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 bum. All right. LegalZoom.com, everybody. Most Americans don't have a will. But why? You don't want the court dictating what happens to you or your property or your minor children. It didn't say you there. You're dead, so that doesn't make any sense, Bill. Read it correctly. You don't want the court dictating what happens to your property and your minor children. So why procrastinate? You know what most people say? They go, oh, it's too expensive. Or it's too time-consuming, dude. You know what my answer is to that? LegalZoom.com. Too expensive, LegalZoom's prices, they just make sense. Too time-consuming? Look, it only takes 20 minutes, and LegalZoom guides you from start to finish. The service was developed by some of the best legal minds in the country, and they make it painless for you to get the legal help you need. In fact, helping people get legally protected has been their mission and passion for over 13 years. During the National Make-A-Will Month, get special pricing on wills and living trusts by entering BURR, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at checkout. Again, that discount code is BURR, B-U-R-R. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so don't wait. Protect your family, protect your future at LegalZoom.com today. LegalZoom was developed by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific directions, but they are not a law firm. LegalZoom legal help is furnished through vetted independent attorneys. LegalZoom.com, discount code BURR, B-U-R-R. All right, man, a classic here. Dollar Shave Club, everybody.
Have you ever wondered why razors are so expensive? Big shave companies are charging you for ridiculous shave technology you don't even need. First, vibrating handles. What's next? A flashlight? Huh? Now pivot, flex ball heads. What's next? MP3 players? I mean, come on, people. Enough is enough. Join DollarShaveClub.com for a few bucks a month. Dollar Shave Club delivers the world's best razors. Razors right to your door. I think Dollar Shave Club blades are better than the big company shave, the big shave companies for a fraction of the price. It's the same blade. You know, what is it, made out of aluminum? The thing's dull in like five shaves. It's just, they're giving you the same blade that they charge you like, what, $900 for a fraction of the price. I don't know what the price is here. I'm going to get to it in the copy. Anyways, it's so easy. Go to DollarShaveClub.com. Pick one of their razors. They start at $3 a month. Fresh blade every week. You're out of your mind if you don't do this. You don't even have to go to the damn store. You don't need the bank. You don't break the bank. You don't have to resort to cheap disposable to save cash. DollarShave.com is amazing. This is a train wreck read. Every month, they ship you automatic deliveries. You'll never forget to buy blades again. You don't have to squeeze shaves out of a dull, dirty old razor blade. You get to shave with a fresh blade every week. This is absolutely mandatory for anyone that wants a great shave. You deserve better than a dull old blade, don't you? Why don't you treat yourself? No more ridiculous shave technology. Make the smarter choice like I did. Join the Dollar Shave Club revolution at DollarShaveClub.com/Burr, B-U-R-R. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. I'm going to get some complaints on that one. It's not that you insulted us. It's that you read it so bad no one could understand what you were saying. E-voice, everybody. If you take all your business calls yourself, it's pretty hard to look professional to get anything done. By helping you expertly manage all of your business calls, eVoice provides you a better way to connect with your clients. With toll-free number, professional voice greeting, and a dial-by-name directory, eVoice transforms any phone into your business phone. When customers call, they're automatically sent to wherever you are. You can be at home, the office, or sitting poolside with a cold beverage. You'll always sound like you're a Fortune 500 company. And you'll get all of this for under $13 a month for a limited time. My listeners can try eVoice for free for 60 days. That's right, 60 days. But this extended trial will not last forever. You have to do it now. Go to eVoice.com and enter promo code Bill upon checkout to get your special offer. Make sure you hurry because this offer ends soon. Go to eVoice.com, promo code Bill. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill. Bravo, India, Lima, Lima. All right, sorry. All right, let's get back to the podcast here. Let's get back to diseases and talking about dying or whatever. I'm calling 2072 for me. I want to see the 70s again. That's why I'm trying to that's not why I'm trying to eat right and exercise. I do it because I'm vain, you know? I just want to look good for you people. That's my new ending to the crying. You like that one? That's when I take it to another level. That long one makes Verzi fucking laugh his ass off. Oh, Jesus, who is this? Oh, it's my brother. Hey, I'm doing my podcast. Can I call you right back? All right, cool. You know what's funny? As silly as that fucking ringtone sounds, like, if you gave that to anybody in Asia, they would start with that thing, and then they would have, like, the most amazing... They could build that theme into the sickest fucking, like, opening to an Olympic ceremony you've ever seen. You like that? That's called positive stereotypes. That music sounded Asian to me, so I connected it with Asian culture with a positive result. Is that also offensive? You know what I mean? If you just say stereotypical shit, but it's positive. Dude, let me tell you something about those greaseball Italians. They can really cook. They're the best cooks in the world. Like, do you have some sort of weird, like, McDLT? Like, hot and cold? You throw in something fucking offensive in the, with a big-time, like, positive thing? Ah, oh, those fuckers can't drive, but whoo, are they good at math?
okay, we're like fifth. He needs to like half apologize and like almost get suspended.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's get back to the podcast. Where the hell am I? Oh, dude, you know what? Did I tell you guys late night, I'm watching TV, right? I had a lot of late nights this week because I had the, it was my final week off before I was going back on the road, the oddball thing. And I've really enjoyed my time off. I haven't taken time off in, I don't know, fucking 10 years. Like, took a significant period of time off. Just sort of been doing this shit because it's been fun. But at some point I kind of looked up and was like, hey, I need to chill out. So the last, you know, July and August, I kind of, you know, rather than going out every other weekend and one or two back-to-back weekends, I kind of did like, well, I still did 2 weekends in July, but they were fun weekends and I haven't done shit in August yet. And, it's been great. I've been in LA building up my new hour and, I was fucking around last night down at the Comedy Store, which, you know, is my favorite club out here. And it was another great thing because when you go into the Comedy Store, the original room, that's where all those guys, when they came to town, that's where they went up. I don't even know that they had the main room initially. They just had that the original room, and that's where Letterman, Leno, Robin Williams, Sam Kinison, Dice, all of those guys, Sandra Bernhard, all of them, all of the Comedy Store greats, Jim Carrey, all those guys started there. And so they have these neon signs that they made for like some of their best ones. And it was basically, it's Pryor, Kinison, Robin Williams. I forget. You just go around the room. It's like, you know, it's like five Mount Rushmores worth of people. So last night you went in there and they usually have them all lit up and they only had Robin's lit up. It was really fucking cool. And I wanted to try out a bunch of new stuff. So I'm like, well, shit, there's your sign right there. Robin Williams, the king of fucking improv. So I've just been going down there and, you know, as every hour starts out with, it starts off with that idea, that little chunk. And I've been fucking around with the order and I just went up there and I was, did like 15 minutes, nothing from my special. There was a couple of leftover ideas that didn't get developed or didn't make the special for whatever reason. Not like I made a choice for them not to be in the special. They just didn't come out, you know. I just did my act and those jokes didn't get told. So just been having a great fucking time being home. And I don't know. Now I'm getting ready to do the fucking road and I'm literally having like a panic attack. Like, ah, oh, fuck, I got to go back out there again. But I know the second I get out there, it's going to be great. And, I'm really looking forward to these oddball shows because, one, I need the fucking money. I haven't worked in 2 months and, I got the downstairs hanging over my goddamn head. You know what kills me is we put in this walk-in closet, right? Downstairs, off this bathroom. And, you know, it's an old house, so it's a walk-in closet the size of how fat people are today and how much extra shit we buy compared to back in the day when people, you know, used to take shit down to the cobbler or get the TV repaired. The TV repairman was actually a fucking career, you know? You didn't just keep buying shit and then going to Goodwill and throwing it at them and then buying more shit. So anyways, I basically, this is how fucking hilarious women are and how much faster their fucking brains are in certain areas. When we came and we looked at this house, I was just, I don't know what I was looking at. I just liked it. And when we left the house, she was just like, what'd you think? I was like, I don't know. I like that one. And she kind of went like, I liked it too. And then we got like excited. But she had already worked out what room was going to be hers and which closets were going to be hers. And I have like, I got like two half a closets, you know, back when like someone who was like for clothes for like back when somebody was my size, he was considered like, I don't know what. Like I would be in like the early days of the NBA at 5'10", 170, 175. I don't know what, you know, on a shit franchise, I could have actually been a power forward. I'm just saying people were smaller back then. And if you don't realize that, go to an old stadium, whatever's left, the Yale Bowl to the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. You go out to those old stadiums, and what's hilarious is they're a third of the size of the new stadiums, and they hold more people. They hold like 100,000 people. Now, a lot of that is because there's not luxury boxes and all that fucking space where they have people walking around. But when you're sitting down where they have the numbers on the aluminum benches, it's like, that used to be back in the old Patriots Stadium. If you stood up during the winter when everybody had their puffy coats on during an exciting play, if you were the last person to try to sit down in your row, you lost your seat. And you had to kind of crouch down and wait for something else good to happen as people threw shit at you, you know, in a joking way, going down in front, knowing what the deal was. So I have like these two. Like one of the closets I have is so fucking small. Like it's basically from it's my shoulder width and it's long and it's that wide. And up top it has like some almost like it's not baseboard. It's on the middle of the wall. And then it has what I hang my clothes on are, you know, like nunchuck handles. Just imagine nunchuck handles being twice the size of that. And there's three of those. And I set them on that baseboard. That's not a baseboard halfway up the wall. At a 45-degree angle, there's three of them, and then I hang clothes on them. And what happens is, inevitably, I reach, when I have to grab something in the second row, if I go to pull it off, if I pull it off too quickly, the whole thing falls down and takes down another row. So anyways, I got to say this quietly because she's in the other room. When we started this fucking project, okay, that walk-in closet downstairs, that was going to be mostly mine. And partly hers, but it was going to be mostly mine. And I don't know what happened during the fucking project, but like I've lost real estate down there again. I swear to God. And now I'm actually, you know what I'm thinking? I'm like, I need to redo the garage. And I'm like, there it is. There it is. I'm the stereotypical guy. I am gradually being squeezed out of my house, and I'm going to... I used to do a bit about that. Then when you get married, all of your shit ends up in either the basement or the garage. We don't have a basement, but we have a garage, so... And this is the funny thing. I'm actually looking forward to it because it's not attached to the house. So I could just kind of have that, you know? I can walk away from my life. That was a fantasy of mine. Like my dream house, you know, if I wasn't in this fucking business, was I would live out more in the country. Not literally the country, but I would live in a place that looked like the country, but was still like a 45-minute drive to a major city. And I always wanted, I always like old houses because I make everything in my fucking life difficult. You know, rather than just buying a new one, I like old shit. So I would buy an old house, fix the whole thing up, but it would have a garage with a room over the garage that is detached from the house. Ideally, it's an old barn. And down below, I would have my old truck. And then I would have some selfish vehicle, like a fucking Corvette, some two-seater. Like, fuck you people. I know I'm married, but, you know, I need some me time. And then upstairs, I'd have my drums, guitars, and all of that shit. You know, and then, you know, of course, a flat-screen TV. And let's just go all out, a fucking refrigerator, right? With, like, you know, all kinds of booze in there. Humidor, cigars. You know, fire escape up the back for whores. Whatever. You get the idea. So now I'm thinking, you know, I got this garage. I mean, not like I'm going to put another floor on it, but eventually. I'm actually at this point because of my situation in my house, my lack of closet space, and the fact that I bought this old Ludwig drum kit with John Bonham-sized drums, like a 26-inch bass drum. It's fucking huge. That I'm actually thinking of eventually. I don't know. Redoing the... I'm more excited to redo the garage than I am the kitchen. Put it that way. Because that's how it works. That's how it works. By the way, somebody sent me a... somebody sent me a text of Mel Gibson's divorce settlement. And you know what's funny? The first half of it didn't even bother me. He was worth like $800 million. He's been with his wife for 30 years. She gave him 7 fucking kids. Okay? 7 kids. So she gets half that fortune. You know what? I don't got a problem with that. Fuck it. You know, I'll take $400 million. Take, who gives a fuck at that point? You had 7 kids. God bless you. Here you go. I'll give you $500 million. I'll keep $300 million. What fucking killed me is she gets half of all of his checks for the rest of her life, the rest of Mel's life. And that's that extra shit. Like, it's like, come on, man. He just gave you $400 million. You can't, like, survive on that for the rest of your life. You got to go after that. But I guess what it is really, it isn't even about the money. It's more about, I gave you 30 years of my fucking life. Okay? I absolutely blew out my fucking body for you. And now you're going to go get with this Russian whore. And what am I going to do? I wanted to hang with you for the rest of my life, you know, and enjoy our golden years. And now I got to go to a fucking bingo parlor to find somebody else. Yeah, maybe I get it. Maybe I get it. But I got to be honest, somebody sent me that or tweeted it to me, and I read it, and it actually was keeping me up at night last night thinking about that. But I always end up finding the positive. I was just like, you know what? I would just completely 100% downsize my life, and I would live like I'd have one fork, one spoon, one knife, one bowl, one plate, one glass. I would just make everything super fucking simple. I dress like fucking Albert Einstein. You know, I would have the same fucking outfit every goddamn day. I would just make it ridiculously simple. Yeah, and then I'd get a flat screen and a fucking pull-out couch, and I would just have all the sports packages and a dog, and that would be it. And I would just keep it like that, and I'd drive my old truck, and that would be it. That would be it. That would be my fucking life. I'd wear Chuck Taylors. I would just keep it simple. That actually doesn't sound like a bad life, does it? I mean, even that life, that's how spoiled I am living in a first world country. Like, that's my, you know, did you hear what happened to Bill? He has a place to live and can watch sports 24 hours a day, and he has a dog, and he has his health. The poor bastard. All right. Let's get to the last advertising read here. All right, this read, it's Prosper, everybody. Prosper! In 72 hours, you could have $35,000 to cover your needs. What will you do? Pay off a high rate credit card? Start a business? That home improvement project? I can tell you right now, even if you did that, a lateral move where rather than owing the credit card company, you owed Prosper. If their interest is lower, right there, you just saved money. And all you did was just move money from this hand to this hand. Oh, what did I do there? With our sponsor, Prosper, it's never been easier. Go online, answer a few questions, and see how your low fixed rate in seconds. Jesus, Bill. Your money hits your account in as few as 3 days. Prosper's the fastest growing peer-to-peer lender.
and they facilitated over $1 billion in loans for people like you. Their revolutionary platform connects people looking to borrow money with those who have money to invest. There's no outrageous fees, no raising interest rates, and you'll never set foot in a bank. Just go to prosper.com/burr, B-U-R-R, to check out your rate instantly without affecting your credit score. That's always nice, huh? For a limited time, Prosper is offering my listeners a $50 Visa prepaid gift card when you get a loan. Go to prosper.com/burr. Up to $35,000 in just 3 days and a $50 gift card. Go to prosper.com/burr. Other restrictions apply. See site for details. Gift card is issued by Central State Bank of Florida pursuant to license from Visa USA Incorporated. All personal loans are made by WebBank, a Utah chartered industrial bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All right. So that's the advertising for this week. Let's get back to the podcast. Oh, my God. So I didn't mention I was up late night. And I was watching, you know, having a couple of drinks. This was months and months ago. And it was one of those Time Life, like, music collections. And it was this easy listening rock music that they had. And they just had, like, two former stars. So then going, who can forget this one? You know, the music of our childhood is so important. Absolutely, Randy. And it's timeless. What about this Bee Gees song, right? Shadow Dancing, or whatever the fuck they were singing. I can't, for some reason, I'm going blank on all the fucking songs. So long story short, I actually bought the box set. And I've just been driving around listening to this fucking soft rock. Maybe if you want me, baby, if you need me, you're the only one. I'm just all of this shit. So they actually had a Doobie Brothers song, Saturday in the Park. And I realized that, as a comedian, my bucket list is I want to be in the city of Boston at karaoke, and I want to listen to somebody sing that song just for the first line. You know? Say in the park. People in Boston don't really say say. They say Saturday. Why don't you come over on Saturday? Hey, Nia's in here.
A man selling ice cream.
Singing Italian songs. You got to admit that. How great is that?
It's very positive and uplifting, but was he really just in the park on a Saturday and just wrote a song about the things that he was observing?
Because yes,
it really sounds like that.
People dancing, people laughing, a man selling ice cream, singing Italian songs. Anyways, and of course.
Are you talking about your box set that you got drunk at 1 a.m?
Yeah. What are some of the other songs that were on there?
It was like, didn't they have like Air Supply on there and Linda Ronstadt and...
Linda Ronstadt doing the smoking.
You're so vain. Yeah. That's it.
I bet you
Carly,
think that
right?
song is about yeah. you, right?
Yeah. All that stuff, just soft rock.
But you know what? Actually,
one of these like 8 CD sets. Remember this from the, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you right now. One of my favorite things was this next guy. What was that guy? Rupert something or other?
Rupert Holmes. Him. Oh, him. Yeah. A song I have never heard of in my entire life.
That was a filler song.
It was.
Then they also had all these songs from the 80s. It kind of bothered me that they had a couple of...
But this is stuff that you would find on like an easy listening type of like old school soft rock station, right?
I think it's just because
4-7 the wave. Like, yeah. They were playing that kind
exactly.
of music.
But I have like a line drawn in the sand as far as like 70s and 80s. Because to me,
oh, it, you do? Why?
Because I just think as you go from decade to decade, it's just such a jarring change. Because whoever's coming up, if they're going to make it, you know, if you try to do that more of the same, you're literally going to try to float on the fumes of this other style that's going out. You got to change. So that disco went into like new wave, into that metal music, into grunge. Mm-hmm. And then rap took over, and like, not like rap wasn't around, but like, I don't know. So for me, like that 70s, like, how do you put in like, with Saturday in the Park, how do you put in like Genesis or Mike and the Mechanics in the Living Years?
Because I think it's just all sort of.
Like, I never talked to my dad.
A general.
He was a fucking dick. But he like bought me a bicycle.
The general genre of just like soft, not
say
too hard.
It loud. Oh, say it loud. Back up black singers to make me sound like I have soul.
You better not be referring to Michael McDonald because he is a national treasure.
I was talking about Mike and the Mechanics.
Who's that? Oh, no, I've heard of him.
He was the bearded guy who looked like the father on Family Ties, but he was actually in Genesis.
Oh, okay. I know what the father of Family Ties look like.
Sue,
that's an awesome song.
That song. You know something? People your age, 10 years younger than me, think that song is awesome. Because you were having awesome memories.
Yeah.
When that song came out. You didn't have to pay for anything. You know, you went to school. Like, your big thing was like, oh, my God, I have a pimple on my face. Like, like your life was easy.
Why can't I just like a song because I like a song?
Because that song sucks.
Does it really?
Yes.
It's so fun. Studio. Is this when people decided that they didn't like Phil Collins because he went into like
no? This is when people were loving everything that he was doing.
Oh, okay.
They forgot. See, the one thing that people forget about Phil Collins is that guy is one of the greatest drummers of the last 40 years. He's a fucking insane drummer. Mm-hmm. And Genesis initially was this progressive rock band. Had Peter Gabriel, and it was just monsters in this band. And then they trimmed down, like all of them. After a while, it's just like, man, let's just get fucking paid, man. Let's stop doing 20-minute jams.
Wait, who is that band that their video is hilarious because they're on some sort of boardwalk and they're playing, like they're miming playing instruments. But
even though they know how to do it, that's Journey.
Yeah, wait, it's a someday love will find you. Break those chains that bind you. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're fucking sitting there, sorry.
When the concepts for when they first started making videos are just, you just see how they're just throwing everything against the wall and just seeing what works. They're like, how about we play with no instruments, man?
Yeah,
like,
let's try to make it interesting.
It's like, why would you do that? But they thought it was a really cool concept at the time. But 80s videos are the best. They're so much fun.
Another Phil Collins one. This is solo Phil Collins. That you love, that's on this collection, that who can forget these songs, Neil?
Who can forget this hit?
Was that song, Take a Look at Me Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, that song's
Against
awful.
Against all odds. No, it's not.
Because I have a gun in my mouth. And even
okay,
though I'm
really,
a rock star
really
and I can get a bunch of pussy,
you really didn't
I can't stop
it,
thinking hard. About your fold.
There's really no need. There's really no need for you to take it to that dark place, okay?
It is a dark place. I went to they had the memorial for Robin Williams. It's a sad fucking time, and that song will make you put a fucking gun in your mouth.
I mean, it is pretty depressing.
Thank you.
Okay, fair enough.
See that? That's why you're the shit.
Why? Because I eventually agree with you.
No, because if you're wrong, you admit it.
Yeah, it is depressing, but it's beautiful at the same time. But it's very sad. It is definitely something you listen to in the dark, crying and drinking alone.
I drive down the street like rooting for Phil. Come on, get your shit together. You sound like you're on her front lawn. Look at me now. Look at what you did to me. And then she's dating.
It's an empty space.
She's dating some bigger dude. You want me to go take care of that guy? No, I'll handle it. Philip, you have to stop coming over here.
Stop. I told you. I moved on.
And you coming back to me. Philip, I've called the police, okay?
That's the
odds. He's got a hatchback with all his shit in the back.
Poor Phil Collins.
His dumb tennis shoes that don't have fucking laces in them.
How is Phil Collins these days? There was an article written about him, I feel like, in Rolling Stone a few years ago.
Yeah, it was really...
Like the angriest man in rock or something?
No. It wasn't angry. It was just he was in a bad place. He was going through like his third fucking divorce. And physically, he couldn't play drums anymore. But I think he's come out of that. Mm-hmm.
And he was also couldn't understand why he was considered the Antichrist by a lot of music fans.
Why was he? That's what I was wondering. That's what I was saying earlier. Wasn't there a period where people decided that they hated him? Why?
Because there's this tipping.
He succeeded?
Yeah, but there's this tipping point where you become so successful and you have so much money, and when the next group of people comes up and they rebel against that era, like in the 80s, disco sucked. All right? And the 60s were the coolest fucking thing ever. And then the 90s came, and then the 90s, it was like the 70s were fucking cool, boogie nights and all that shit. And then the 80s were like, you know, that was all cheesy horse shit and hair metal and all that fucking crap. So he got so big, he defined that era, kind of like the Bee Gees. So I think now it's coming back around where people like him. Like you like him, Joe DeRosa.
The teen sensation?
The teen idol sensation. From the Opie and Anthony program, he loves Phil Collins. Oh, he's actually going to be down the goddamn comedy jam tonight.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Very good. Is he gonna jam, man?
He's gonna sing.
Oh my God, this is incredible! I'm very excited for it. Oh, you know how I love our son Joe DeRosa.
That's what we used to call him. When we lived in New York. He used to always we'd have him come over for dinner.
Bill and I kind of adopted Joe when we all lived in New York.
Yeah, and you two guys, the way you guys would eat like steak to the point you would eat when you get a ribeye, you'd be eating all the gristle too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I never saw that. It was like reminded me of that John Candy movie where he had to eat the thing, the fat.
Yeah, he was eating that big steak or whatever it is. And yeah,
the 72 ouncer.
Yeah. No, Joe and I like to get right down into it.
Joe said he would eat the bones if he could.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go that far. But yeah, you got to get all the meat off that bone, baby.
Hey, go grab another mic so I don't have to keep passing it over to you. Go grab another mic with the cord and all that. And I'm going to read one of these questions here.
Okay.
Hey, this is a good thing here. I want to thank the listeners. Everybody went out and downloaded Nick Youssef's All Things Comedy, remember? Part of the mob here, the podcast mob, who downloaded his comedy album last week. Everybody was really pleased. A lot of people hadn't heard about Nick. He's underground. You want to be the first person on your block to say, hey, I know about this cool new comedian. Seriously, man, this guy's the real deal. And his album made it to number 3 on iTunes. How about that? Hey, the microphone's in it's in the closet, my half a closet that I have, Nene. What do you mean, oh, God? Can we talk about that, Nia? How I walked in and just loved this house. You walked in and loved this house and also picked out all the choice spots. It was fucking amazing how you were able to do that. How did you do that? How can you just take all the fucking closets and leave me without a space?
You need me to test this thing first?
For my fucking shirts and my damn socks. All the spots are for you.
We have.
You're a closet whore. I really don't appreciate that.
We both have the same kind of closet space in the bedroom. So
no.
That's equal. Oh,
okay. You want to trade closets?
What do you mean? In this area? Well, no. I mean, I have all my stuff settled right now.
How brilliant was that? She literally gives herself time. Do you want to trade closets? What do you mean? All of a sudden you don't understand English?
I understand. Excuse me. Don't insult me.
Don't play the I'm offended card.
It has nothing
okay?
to
you know
do
exactly
with
what's going on. I have half a fucking closet that's hanging off this house that is not up to code. And it has a piece of fucking wood holding it up.
I told you that I would help you go to the Container Store and figure out how to organize your shit the way that I did. That's what I did. You saw it took me like 3 months to figure it all out and get it all in there perfectly.
Nia,
I told you I could help you with that.
Swear to God.
And you don't have patience for it.
Slap you.
You don't have patience for it.
In your lying face. Nia,
you're not slapping anything, all right? I told you I would help you out, okay? So you don't have patience for that sort of thing. And, you know.
Are you done with your horse shit? Nia, both
yes.
of your closets you can walk into.
You can walk into that one.
And what, stand sideways?
I can't really.
You know what I can do in my closets?
I can stand sideways.
I can do that hammer time dance in both of my closets.
And you know what? Either the back of my head or my little button nose is going to scrape on the wall.
No.
And I did say button nose. I have a cute nose on my giant face.
I thought I was the one with the cute nose.
Oh, you know something? You took all the closet space. Can I at least be the one with the cute nose?
Okay.
There we go.
You can have the nose. About,
you know how bad I'm going to get trashed for that on the podcast?
I'm looking forward to it.
He makes cookies. Hey.
Yes, dear.
So now we're going to – don't start yes, dear, and me. That downstairs closet that'll be done in 2060, that is mine.
I think we're going to share it is really what we've
– I don't like the way you share.
What is that? What are you talking about? I'm going to have this closet up here. I'm only putting downstairs.
You have two closets upstairs that, like, you can walk into and do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
Who can forget this one?
Who can forget this one? Let's get to the questions for the week. Okay. Homeless with a plan. Dear Boxcar Billy.
That's good.
That's actually really good. If you found yourself homeless tomorrow, what would be your game plan? Oh, my God. Where would you set up shop? Are you an under-the-bridge guy? That's the first thing I thought of. Or a beach guy. I'm definitely not a beach guy. Do you sleep all day to be alert to the dangers of the night?
Oh, is that what they do? That makes sense. That makes complete sense.
Yeah, the ones who can't fight. they sleep during the day.
I think that's also just common sense, though, actually.
You know what they're like? They're like rabbits.
What does that mean?
Rabbits are like the...
Cute and furry, but vicious?
No, rabbits are just like... they exist... to keep everything else fed in nature. That's why they fuck like rabbits. They can have a bunch of them. They're like coleslaw on the meat platter.
Ugh, I fucking hate coleslaw.
Coleslaw really is like a filler. It fills up the plate. But I actually was defending coleslaw to Paul Verzi. It's like when somebody knows how to make it, so many people don't know how to make it. They make it all wet and fucking milky.
Mayonnaise-y.
Yeah.
Too much mayonnaise.
What about our old neighbor, though? He made the hearty one.
Yeah, he made it very, like, crisp, and it's more delicious. Like vinegary and tangy.
Jason Lawhead makes an unbelievable fucking coleslaw.
But Jason Lawhead can cook anything and can make a meal out of anything.
That's right. Well, let me finish this right here.
Okay.
Do you sleep all day to be alert to the dangers of night? Mm-hmm. You could beg or play drums on some pots and pans. Thanks for the last listener from New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Oh, I'll tell you, New Hampshire, that's God's country up there.
That was the first time we ever took like a little vacation together. Do you remember that? It was in New Hampshire. In the captain's quarters.
Captain's.
Quarters. That little like beach lake type business they've got over there. Anyway, I could see you.
That was great. And it was perfect white trash for me. There's enough tatted up people with tank tops. There was enough fucking I ate mac and cheese as a main course meal, like me, with toast.
Remember when I tried to like spray that kind of like tint SPF on you? It was supposed to give you like a tan, and it didn't work. And I used like two fucking spray cans, and nothing happened.
It just wouldn't take.
Like your skin repels color. Like it's resistant to color. Like it just won't happen for you. It won't happen.
Yeah, it just won't.
You get more freckles on your forearms and like your lower legs, but other than that, it's nothing.
Well, what happens is
a spray tan, essentially. Like, what kind of pasty, melanin-deficient fucking piece of freak nature are you that you can't even – I'm being so mean right now.
No, you're not. I don't give a shit. It's true. I will object – you notice I didn't interrupt you. I will object when you say something that isn't accurate. All right. So, obviously, sleeping during the day is going to be rough for me because of the sun. So I either choose a beat down or I get sunburned. So
you definitely got to do the bridge. It's shadier for you, but it also smells like urine. So you know you got to take the good with the bad.
Under the bridge of love.
And who can forget this impactful hit?
You know, I used to play drums with this guy, and he was into the Chili Peppers, and we used to play this song that was really fun to play, but I hated the lyrics.
Why?
Suck my kiss.
Oh, okay.
I hate. You suck my kiss. Fucking hated the lyrics.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Realize but, I don't want to be a miser.
The best thing about the Red Hot Chili Peppers is Flea. Yes, Flea, right? 100%.
No, it's the whole band. It's the whole
the
band.
The whole band is awesome. I love Anthony Kiedis. I like Dave.
You hated his fucking...
What? His Hitler mustache?
Not his Hitler mustache. Because
I hated that.
His autobiography, where it was just one, and then I was banging this hot chick, and I was in love. And
yeah, no, I found it. Then I had a threesome. Insufferable. I found it insufferable. I like Dave Navarro.
And you know what? He came off to me like a bully, and he was mean to Flea. And I was like, this guy's a dick. And Flea needs to know how to draw some fucking lines and be like, listen, Anthony, I'm not putting up with that shit.
I think Flea knows how to take care of himself just fine. Flea seems scrappy. And like a little bit crazy.
But you know what? He wears his heart on his sleeve. That's what I got out of it.
Oh, Flea. Flea. This turned into a Flea love fest. Flea, we love you. You would definitely, you would be a street performer, for sure. Boxcar Billy, I swear to God, is it's fantastic.
I would,
you'd be a busker.
No, this is what I'd know. I would be up during the day, and I would sleep at night until I took that first brutal ass kicking. Like when the Clockwork Orange guys came around and started kicking me in the ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would be a broken ribbed, balding Billy sleeping on the sidewalk like that guy down the street when I walk Cleo by. Cleo always funny. Like, you know, she's always viewing everybody as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
She actually looks down at this person with like this look of concern.
Right. Is he okay?
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah,
like, they
she
can
goes
tell.
Over and like she wants to like sniff and stuff. And
yeah, like, hey, buddy.
Right.
Is everything all right?
She's curious about a lot of people. It's interesting. It's but not necessarily in a bad way, I don't think. I see her kind of wanting to approach women a lot of time.
Yeah, she's so sexist. So yeah, I would be a I would initially be an under the bridge guy, but I would find a bridge that nobody else was at. And I would also be homeless in the nicest neighborhood I could be in.
They'd run you out though. You can't be homeless in a nice neighborhood.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the nicest neighbor I could be homeless in. Because then I could walk to a nicer neighborhood and be like, hey, man, can you help me out? Have a heart. And I would have every lie on my sign. Terminal disease, homeless vet, anything I could fucking think. I got to make money. I'd do anything.
What do you think about those people who are like, you know, why lie? I want to get high. Well, I didn't mean it to rhyme like that.
I liked
it
at first, but now I think it's hacky.
Okay. You need to get a new slogan there.
Absolutely.
Clever homeless people.
Absolutely. All right, fiance, we got to get moving here because we got to get the dog in the. Okay. We're already an hour in. Fiance getting crazy fit. Hey, Billy Biceps.
Did you really say that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why? You didn't like it because it was sort of complimentary?
No.
Come on, how good a shape am I in right now?
You look amazing.
Thank you. Today, I have an odd problem that I am hoping you can lend me some advice. I should have said, and I'm hoping, not that I'm hoping. I have always been on and off gym rat. My fiance is amazing looking and worked as a Disney World dancer, which kept her in fantastic shape. Recently, she took a new job and sits behind a desk all day. Looking for a new way to stay fit, she started heading to the gym with me. All was great for a while, till recently she found a new workout program. Now she's addicted to lifting, and with the advice of a personal trainer, is looking to become a bikini competitor. Sounds great, right? Not so much. First off, most bikini competitions are crazy ripped, manly ripped. If I was into that, I would change teams. Next issue.
Oh, okay.
No, Nia.
Sorry, I'm going
to
keep quiet.
Would you want your man to look like a woman? Next issue is that she doesn't want to. All right, talk about my ignorance at the end of this. I realized 40% of why that was an ignorant comment. Next issue is that she doesn't want to have fun anymore. We are in the mid-20s, no kids, and live alone. We normally do a little partying, which has gotten cut out to save all calories. And last off is that she really is a 10. Now her swinging dick in the weight room throws lines. No. Now every swinging dick in the weight room throws lines at her every day. I trust her and have no worries, but it gets under your skin. For these selfish reasons, I could use some advice. I support her no matter what, but still want her to have fun and have no interest in dating a man. But I have no interest in dating a man. Any good idea maybe the lovely Nia could yell at me and set me straight. You
really,
have a reputation here.
Oh yeah, you're gonna fucking get it. You're absolutely gonna get it.
Oh, who made you the fucking authority on everything? Get off your hole. You're gonna get it. Shut up, Nia.
No, I will not shut up. This guy needs to shut up because you feel in a certain kind of way because your girlfriend is, you know, growing without you and you still want to lie around and be a tub of shit. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's completely inaccurate.
I know we know somebody that has done bikini fitness, a female, and she doesn't look like a dude at all. There are the girls that do really the steroid shit, which is, yeah, that's not a good look. And then there are the girls who do the natural thing. There's different like categories of it, but they're like the natural girls, and then they're the ones that look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like circa 1983. Right. Obviously, you don't want that. I totally get that. I wouldn't, you know, if a girlfriend was going in that direction, I'd be like, no. So of course, but yeah, if she's getting in shape and she really loves it, no, she's not gonna want to go out drinking. She's not going to want to go out. Like, that's kind of just part of it.
Then they don't drink water, so it sucks everything up right before the thing. And then they go out and they paint themselves brown. And then they go out there and they got literally – they're so shredded. They have, like, veins coming out of where their bush should be.
Yeah, she's not going to end up looking like a dude. I really don't think that that's a real fear that you have. So you really need to stop it with that. Like, give me a fucking break. Like,
just know
like
that when
she's
you're
lifting weights, all of a sudden she's going to be like, yo, what's up? Like,
well, she has to keep the long hair, though. She has to keep the long hair because eventually.
Most of them do have long hair in that competition.
Okay.
You're supposed to like.
All right. Because all I'm saying is eventually, if she keeps working out, her ass is going to feel like an elbow. And if she has the short hair, you could really feel like, wink a wink onk. That's the Oz thing.
She's not going to end up looking like a dude. You're just getting insecure because, yeah, like you said, the dudes in the weight room are starting to talk to her. And so you're trying to deal with that by being like, I don't want to fucking date a man, okay? I mean, calm down, sweetie.
Something on the other side, though.
Get over yourself.
He cares about her. He's worried that he's going to lose her. You're being a douche to him
now. No, he's being a douche by being like, I don't want to date a guy. If I wanted that, I'd switch teams. Like throwing that ridiculous shit in there. Just come out with it. Just say you're feeling insecure because she's looking better than ever. And these meathead dudes that could probably
bench press you
are now talking to
Jesus.
Her. And now
I like
you're feeling a certain kind of way. That's exactly what's going on.
You know, Nia, if you want people to hear your point, you can't shit on them like that.
I'm sorry. Did you just tell me that?
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah, but
shits on everybody, Burr.
Yeah, but not when I want somebody to hear my point.
Okay.
Or maybe I do. Oh, I'm just saying. Well, maybe I can fucking hear it from you. But I can tell you this, Nia. There is a certain point where a woman gets in such ridiculous shape, you lose a lot of the femininity, however you say that fucking word.
Okay.
Yeah, you want
like a little softness.
Yeah,
I understand.
Something to hold on to.
Yeah, and I,
you know, I don't want to feel like you're cradling your buddy in a foxhole, trying to fucking hold your breath during the mustard gas. That kind of makes old Willie take a fucking vacation.
Well, that's the thing though. Has she even gotten to that point, or is he just like freaking out?
No, she's going
to
do the competitions.
Yeah, but as I said in the beginning, there are competitions where you got more of a natural vibe going on.
Can you validate any of his feelings?
I validate his feelings if he'd just be honest with his feelings and stop throwing
her under
the bus.
He said for these selfish reasons.
Okay.
I could use some advice. Right. He had a sense of humor. Maybe
he also
said that maybe Nia could
can yell at him.
Yeah, he's being funny.
Okay, well, I'm
a little playfulness there.
Okay, all right.
Jeez Louise.
Look at you getting all upset about it. Why are you getting all...
Because I want some closet space, too.
This podcast theme is all about men feeling emasculated and how you need to get the fuck over it.
Yeah, look at that. See that?
What?
This is what I've always said about women.
Don't point at me.
I'm pointing right at you. Everything that you guys don't want us to do to you, you guys do to us in a fucking heartbeat. And you don't even see it because we can beat the shit out of you. So you don't fucking see. You don't see the humanity in us.
Why don't you cue you doing that? Can we make that some sort of sound effect that I can hit every time you're like, see, when guys do it, you guys are like this, but when you do it, it's fine. I'm going to hit a button and have you go, because that's exactly what you are.
Good. Now, can I do that back to you?
Now, you see, again, you're always like, yeah, see, because this and this. It's like, I've never seen who, I feel like, All right, I don't. Hey, when you go to make a point,
you stick your face out.
I don't want to get racial.
Yeah, go ahead, do it. Do
it. But I swear to God, fucking straight white men love trying to keep score about shit. It's like, see, when you guys do this, we can't do this, but then that and then that. It's like you guys are fighting so hard to maintain the status quo. It's actually laughable, the kind of ridiculous things that'll come out of your mouth in order to, like, keep things the way they used to be back when this goddamn country meant something and stood something for something.
I'm literally talking about closet space, and you turn me into some guy in Mississippi burning. You know something? What you just fucking did, that whole ridiculous thing of the status quo. What am I, an 80-year-old Republican? Do you think I honestly have meetings with my other white male straight friends?
We need to talk about the status quo.
And how to maintain it.
How to maintain it.
This country is getting overrun with feminists.
You know what it is, Nia?
And the women who like to lift weights. And they're not women anymore. God damn it, put a skirt on and get back in the kitchen.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is you can fucking sit there and go off on all these man boys with their fucking hoodies who are in their 30s and talk all awkward and that shit, how you're fucking over there. Come on. Come on. You know what it is, Nia? You don't have an ability to step outside yourself and just see how ridiculous and dumb you really are.
Is that what
you're
needs
not
to
a,
happen?
You're not a smart person and nobody likes you. All right. Let's go move to the next one.
Most of those things are categorically
fish tanks. Did we even answer this thing?
Well, why don't you answer
it? I would answer it this way. All right. You got it. She's going to be in great shape, which is a good thing. It's better than dating a fatty. This is the deal. I shouldn't have said that. That was extra mean. I didn't mean that. But she's only going to be in that gross shape the few days before the competition, where she's completely fucking emaciated and actually doing damage, more damage than good to her body, depriving her vitals of water, and that awful fucking tan. And no, it's gross. Have you seen them go out there? They look fucking.
They look raceless.
You want to play the race card? They look raceless.
They like, all look that terrible shade of brown.
No, they look like what's that fucking that meat that you eat? You go and you buy a big stick of it.
It's not even brown. It's orange.
It's 7-Eleven beef jerky.
Slim Jim.
Like if beef jerky was a race, that's Slim what they Jims. Look like. Slim Jim. Yeah. Step into a Slim Jim.
But like I said, there's several different kinds of categories of those fitness competitions for women. It's not all like Schwarzenegger style. So just, you know, I don't know. Sorry, I gave my opinion already.
Yeah, guys don't. No
the
guy.
The floor is yours, Senator.
No guy ever goes like, oh, geez, you see the biceps on that chick?
Some guys like that, though. They like that really like worked out, abs popping,
listen,
guns blazing.
Can I tell you something? There's somebody out there fucking a rug. Okay, there's, you can pick up anything in the fucking world. There's something that's, look at the fan over there. There's probably some guy that likes to jerk off in front of it and feel the wind oscillating.
Oh my God,
onto
stop.
His dick. Yeah, there's somebody into everything. That don't make it right. I'm just trying to be the white guy you just painted me to be. All right, fish tanks. Dear Barnacle Billy,
people are very clever with these.
They are. I have my listeners are smart. My friend just spent $1,000 on this crazy fish tank and exotic fish to go with it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. To each his own. But what's the call here? That's an absolute waste of money. It's not like he has an awesome apartment that it fits in with the decor. On the other hand, that goes to prove he might have an honest passion for fish tanks. Now, I don't know how to feel. Please give me your thoughts. Come back to Seattle. So, yeah, he sounds like a pothead.
I like how this is bothering him enough that he's got to write you about it. Like, what the fuck? $1,000?
Yeah, you're living in this shithole. You got this thousand. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, it's not like he has an awesome apartment that fits in with the decor. Yeah, you know.
But on the other hand, it goes to prove he might have an honest passion for fish tanks. I think
that's
this guy,
true.
He covered the topic.
Yeah. He just likes fish. And you know what? Fish in the like aquariums are very like calming to some people. Ugh. So it might be like, why are you making that noise?
Because that's that fucking like somebody said that
And I've never heard a doctor say that. I've heard that repeated.
Doctor?
Yeah.
Somebody. Why do you need a doctor to say what soothes you or not in order to make it
because
legitimate?
Because they're the ones that know how to take your blood pressure.
You're right.
So they would actually know.
Okay.
How do you know that that didn't come from the aquarium industry? And when fish fell out of favor,
you know,
around 72, 73.
Fish fell out of favor.
And people stopped getting aquariums.
Did you ever hear that rumor that Tracy Morgan had like an octopus or something like that? Or
oh, he has. From what I've seen video of it. No, he has like sharks and shit.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
No,
he doesn't
have to take his
and see the little fishies.
He doesn't have to take his kids to the aquarium. He just takes them to the living room.
Right.
There's no turnstile or nothing. Like he could charge money for his aquarium. I think I heard somebody was saying that maybe he was going to get a. An octopus.
I had no idea.
I'm just happy that he's still around and can make that decision.
Absolutely.
To be honest with you.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking forward to when he gets back to the clubs.
It seems like buying fish is a pretty harmless habit. It can be a little like, what the fuck, though? If you've got someone living in this shithole apartment, they're spending $1,000 on fish. That's fucking ridiculous.
Do you know, when I was a kid, my dad...
But there could be worse things.
My dad used to... We used to have piranhas.
Oh, you did?
Yep. We used to call them... And it was always the same name, Charlie. We had the piranha, Charlie, and you'd throw the goldfish in, and he would just destroy them.
Oh, my God. So much stuff is starting to make sense now.
And he would eat, like, you'd put in, like, I remember one time we put, like, the whole bag in.
You've never told me that you own piranhas and that you five little psychos would, like.
We had a piranha, and then my dad had another thing, another tank. It was called an arowana, I swear to God. And it was this eel-looking, like, fish, and that thing used to also eat fish. And it would just go like, poof, it would like just fucking like lash on him and grab him.
Hmm.
And one time the fish was too big and it kept hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And we were all sitting there laughing because we thought it was funny. Then afterwards we started feeling bad for the fish. So my dad reached in, took it out and brought it over to the counter and took a knife and cut its head off and then threw it back in the tank. And that's my childhood.
Once again, so many things becoming clear.
Oh, stop it. And you know what? And someday when the shit hits the fan and the food supply ends... And you can't cut the fish off that head? Cut the fish off that, cut the head. I think I have dyslexia. Do I?
I mean,
I can't read. I can't even speak.
No, it's not that. You know what it is?
Cut the fish off the head?
It's your ADD. Your brain moves faster than your mouth. And like,
I know somewhere in there's an insult.
You're kind of skimming things because you're already, you want to be like down here when you're up here. It's your ADD. I told you.
Okay.
Get it under control.
How can you just fucking diagnose me?
I'm right, though. Remember when you took that adult ADHD quiz? I made you take that quiz online.
I crushed that quiz. I got every answer right.
Crushed it by being like, yes, you have ADHD. We recommend you like see somebody. Click on this link. And
oh,
Adam,
fuck you. Why don't you go take a test?
And Adam Levine is sitting there like, hey, I also have ADHD. But that didn't prevent me from being a huge asshole rock star.
Why don't you like him?
I like him
in
theory.
You turned on that guy. You loved him when he first came out.
I did. I liked him. Yeah, I did like Maroon 5. I did like it, but the more he started talking, the less I liked him. But I do like
his music. Well, maybe if he didn't steal his fucking music, he could just be out in the road doing that instead of spinning around on a lazy boy going, I want to put you on my team to sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. All right, hot dogs,
he's
everybody.
He's making plenty of money in Maroon 5, and he wants to be a bigger star. That's why he's on The Voice. That's why he's shilling ADHD medication.
You don't know him. You don't know him.
You're right. I don't know him.
Hot dogs. Bill, my girlfriend...
is grossed out by hot dogs.
I was wondering why he didn't go Billy Frankfurt there. Bill, my girlfriend is grossed out by hot dogs. She says they're made of gross parts of many animals.
Yeah,
she's
true.
Right. I told her... We get it. You agree with the women on this. I told her I'm aware, which is why I only eat like 12 a year.
12 hot dogs a year?
Hey, if you did coke once a month, you wouldn't have a problem.
That's true.
See?
We're not encouraging people to do coke once a month.
But if you are, just do it once a month.
Just do it once a month.
Which isn't that much. A coupe at a time.
Couple.
I think it's supposed to be a couple at a time. And only at BBQs.
That's a lot of BBQs.
Am I crazy that I think this guy might be black?
Why?
Barbecue. You put coupe, you know, like coupe de ville.
Basically, you know, you're saying that because
this is a Cadillac driving, hot dog eating, barbecue eating black guy. That's what I'm guessing. No. So she says she won't kiss me for hours after eating one. So I told her I won't kiss her for hours after drinking coffee. And let me tell you, Bill, she drinks a good amount of coffee. How'd I do here? Awful. You turned into the unaccepted skid. No, you didn't turn into it. You made it worse. You'd be like, oh, you're going to be a douche? I'll be even a bigger douche. And now you guys aren't going to be kissing.
Yeah, that is the dumbest thing for you guys to fight about.
Yeah, she's going to bang the guy at the coffee truck. And you're going to fuck a girl in the bleachers.
I really love how he eats hot dogs so much that his girlfriend is like, I will refuse to kiss you because he eats that many fucking hot dogs that it's an actual issue.
Listen, I understand why you eat them. And I also understand that she doesn't want to kiss the afterbreath of a pig's asshole.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I would never not kiss you because you ate a hot dog. That's a little extreme, for sure.
Oh, and by the way, coffee breath is fucking
disgusting. Coffee breath, I feel like, is probably worse than hot dog breath.
It is.
Right?
I think they should put coffee in the water that they have hot dogs in.
Coffee dogs.
Coffee dogs. Dog coffee.
Either way, it's dumb of you guys to be fighting about this, so...
Yeah, you guys should be a more mature couple, like myself and Nia. All right, book suggestion. Billy Shakespeare.
That's another good one.
Catching up on old podcasts and heard you talk about World War II books. That was a year ago. Read anything good lately? Also, what magazine piques your interest? He wrote Peak. What is he asking about? Dirty magazines there? Yeah, I was into World War II books. That was a year ago, and I was into that for like a month, and then my brain goes over here. So recently, what did I do? I don't know. I've been reading about music, and I don't fucking know. I go through periods of reading and not reading, and right now I haven't been reading.
You read drum magazines, though. Those are the magazines that you read a lot. And Rolling Stone.
I read Rolling Stone. Yes, I do. Even though you fucking shit on that magazine.
I just
you
feel
said,
like...
I believe you said it was whack.
I said that a while ago. I like reading Rolling Stone. I rather read about the real life stuff than the celebrity interviews. I just feel like the celebrity interviews of like, not as great as they used to be. But I love reading about stuff.
But
like,
they're in the music
the soldiers
industry.
With like PTSD and like any kind of like internet business thing. There was an article about these two people that met on Vine and started like courting each other on Vine. They met in real life, and of course it didn't really work because you're in a relationship with somebody online. You don't really know them. And things went south, and she accused him of rape, and it was just this whole fucking terrible situation.
Yeah, but I don't think you can blame that on Vine. I mean,
if somebody meets you in a bar back in the day, you don't really know them either. I know, but you at least met them in real life. I blame people who have relationships with people online for 6 months that they've never met in real life. That's a very different situation than being in the same city.
You know me 10 years. You haven't met the real me yet, man. All right, dilemma. Bill and Nia, if she's around. Oh, she is definitely around this week.
Oh, I'm around.
Imagine you're in a perfect relationship.
I don't have to imagine it. I'm living it.
Oh, Jesus. Nobody believed that. One of you cheats and it's over. Would you rather be the one who cheated so your image of the other is always perfect, or be the one who got cheated on so you can have pride in the fact that you are a good person? Rough question if you immerse yourself in the ideas of both for your
own
fucking amusement.
Terrible question.
No, I'm
not answering that. That's stupid.
All right. Well, we got to do a dilemma. All right. If, we were in a plane crash.
Okay.
And we're in snowy mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't like the cold.
No.
Would you rather that I lived and I ate you? Or you lived and you ate me? Now,
we're the only ones on this plane?
Yes.
That it's come to that?
So here
we
go.
We can't eat the pilot and the stewardesses and the other passengers.
We were in a very small plane.
Oh, I see.
White meat's better for you than dark meat.
Excuse me. Dark meat tastes better. I could not imagine eating you.
Oh, shut up.
I wouldn't want to do that. What? Listen, answering the question.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Well, the way you've handled closets in here, that's not even a life and death fucking situation. You would totally be like, bye, BB. You know what you'd do? I'd be sitting there like still kind of conscious, and you do what Tony Soprano did to Christopher. You just reach over and pinch my nose.
Oh, how that broke my heart when I saw that scene. Oh, my God. Oh, that was horrifying.
And then you'd stand up there going, I did it. I fucking did it.
That was terrible. That and Adriana hurt me the worst on that show. God, I fucking love that show so much. Remember there was a time where I was watching like every episode on demand, like every day, because I just went back
into
being obsessed with my Sopranos. I just loved the fucking Sopranos.
I love that period of your TV watching. Yeah, that was a great period in your TV watching.
I know, it's kind of gone downhill.
Yeah,
now.
You have peaks and valleys. And right now,
I'm watching the good TV on Netflix, and I'm watching the bad TV on actual TV.
That's going to stop when football season starts.
Oh, God.
By the way, that's in less than a couple of weeks. College football, pro football.
Oh, boy.
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday.
Vern Lundquist, SEC football.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
All right. Well, it means a lot to me. It's exciting. All right, everybody. That's the podcast for this week. I thought I had odd ball dates this week, but I'm definitely doing the Jones Beach one, but I don't know what's going on with Virginia. Ticket sales are not where they need to be. This is not my call. So it either might happen or it might not happen. I don't know what's going on with Virginia. We thought that you guys liked comedy. Well, thanks a lot, everybody.
Virginia is for lovers, not for comedians.
That's right, not for psycho comics. All right, that's it.
Saturday!
That's the podcast, everybody. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.